This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Tech Talk, made possible by TM1.
You're listening to Tech Talk, and my name is Jeff Sandhu. According to Nikkei Asian Review, there are 900 tech startups in Malaysia where the government has been supporting them with numerous initiatives, from tax holiday for up to 10 years for qualifying startups to the numerous education and talent pools initiated by various federations in the country. And to build a sustainable entrepreneurship ecosystem, Malaysia launched MAGIC to further foster and develop a vibrant startup ecosystem in Malaysia and beyond. However, with new technologies changing business models and affecting Malaysia's economy by disrupting numerous businesses as well as creating new possibilities, the entrepreneurial mindset is also needed to turn ideas into actions. So how does analytics and IoT contribute to nurture local entrepreneurs in the data-driven era? Well, to talk about all that and more is my guest for today, Eric Gerber.
Eric Gerber, I look after the business outside of America, which we call international. So it's basically subsidizing Europe, Middle East and Africa and Asia Pacific.
And what's Tipco Software all about?
So we're a technology vendor. Yeah, we do two things, and I think we do two things very well. So one is we help organizations to integrate all of the data generating resources and make sure that they get access to that in real time. And basically being able to display that. That's not an easy task if you really think about what it means, because there's a lot of data generating resources in your ecosystem. And the other thing that we're doing is we're trying to support companies to make sense out of that data. You know, once you have access to the data and you look at it in a nice format, on a nice screen, so you basically see what has happened. You may see why it has happened, but we help organizations with data science support, with machine learning support, and the necessary technology to understand what is likely going to happen next.
And today we'll be discussing about the importance of data analytics and IoT skills, and you're trying to support Malaysia's mission to nurture entrepreneurship. But I guess, you know, we've got to go back to the start, like just how important or how much have things changed in the business landscapes that data analysis and you know, IoT skills have become like the four most important vertical in a business, because data analytics has not been, it's not something new. You know, even if you go back 20 years ago and so, you know, you would have some sort of data to drive a business forward. But now it's like the crucial element. If you don't have it, you're gonna risk of dying.
You're going to risk of losing your customers' goodwill, I think, right? And it's a fight for the consumers. Basically, almost every organization that you can think of is somehow relating to consumers and to customers on the other side. And you want to make sure that you cater to them in a better way than the competition. What has really changed over the last 20 years is that competition literally is a click away, right? And so customer loyalty has come to the level that I don't have to be your customer. And so you want to make sure that you cater to them in a personalized way so that they're keeping happy.
And IoT is fairly new, at least in the last couple of years, become mainstream now. And there's that need to have more sensors in every device and get more data from it. What's the challenge here?
I think there's multiple challenges. We are thinking of in Asia, according to Gartner, that there's going to be as many as 9 billion connected devices by 2020, which when you really think about it, this is absolutely staggering number. Right, so the first challenge is to get access to that data and to capture it, as I was alluding to, and make sure that this is getting into a format that you can digest it. You want to have that in real time because it's high velocity data. And the third thing, and I think that's where we get into sort of a conversation about personalization of data, which I can foresee is going to become even more important as and when we all get even more transparent to everybody on the market. It's how do we handle this data and how do we make sure we don't get into too much of a personalized environment.
And with that, though, the privacy sector, when it comes to data gathering or collecting the information that you know seems to be generated recently, what's your take with, you know, there's so many legislation in Europe, you've got GDPR, and you know, right. in parts of, you know, Asia, we've got something similar. What's your take? Has this sort of hindered the progress of, you know, the dream that we have IoT devices, we're going to be speaking to each other, it's going to make our lives happier and better? That's the dream, but there is the fear, the nightmare of it being used for malicious activities.
Right. So that's indeed something. If you think out of an entrepreneurship, you don't want to have too many legislations, right? Because they kind of like put boundaries on your way. And so you want to be free. You want to do what you think is right. But then on the other hand, these sort of legislations and governances are needed, because there might be that, you know, scenario where things really don't go well in the future, and where there is an apocalypse or whatever coming out of it. You follow people like Ray Kurzweil, who has written about how humans and machines are melting with each other, and he's written that book like 20 years ago, right? Mm. You know, if you think about it, that has a scenario that is feasible, right? So yes, you want to have this counter kind of movement so that you get somehow into a balance.
Mm. I always talk on the show, the technology is only as good as the people using it. So how important the talent is today, and are we ready, as at least Southeast Asia or Malaysia itself, are we ready to embrace this?
There's a very key element, and I think we were chit-chatting away before the show here, right? So I think we are in a business where talent really makes the difference. So how do you educate them? That's one. And then how do you educate their character and culture so that they're ready? So there's two things, in my opinion, right? The first one is like we as in TIBCO, we are in the business of helping universities with technology. We give access to technology for free for many of these universities. Actually, as a matter of fact, we just opened up a partnership yesterday with Nanyang Polytechnic, where 1,500 students get access to data science technology. So they go through that. So that's one contribution that, you know, other vendors, but also government should support. The other thing is a cultural aspect, right? When you're in that business of being an entrepreneur, you want to be kind of bold. You want to be courageous, and you want to stand up and do something. There's this fail fast attitude, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that makes a big difference in between what the Silicon Valley did very well with whatever cultures were, contributing to it, compared with maybe this place here, right? With Singapore, Malaysia, where you see a little bit of level of cautiousness, right? And that is not always good, is not always bad.
Mm. What's lacking? Is it hunger? Is it skills? Is it the understanding of, you know, what's needed in business? Why is talent such a big issue globally?
I definitely don't see the hunger as an issue in Southeast Asia. So I think that is a very big plus and a reason for investors to come here and support the entrepreneurship. I don't think there is an issue in educational level. So if you compare that to, you know, worldwide levels, I think Southeast Asia is still on a very good level.
Mm. And you've partnered up with a couple of universities. So one you mentioned was the Polytechnic Singapore.
Nanyang Polytechnic, yeah.
And then one, you've got one here in Malaysia as well.
That's right. It's called the Asia PAC School, right? So so we're supporting that in the same way. So it's the computing school out of it that is using our technology.
And what do you hope to see, from these two partnerships beyond just, you know, having the students access to data analytics tools?
One is indeed a contribution to the community. So we got to be honest with that. So we like to be a player, and it's always if you think in a broader sense, the community pays back to every member of it, right? So we are one of them. The other thing is a not so selfish intention, which is like we're a business who is built upon licensing technology at the end of the day, right? So when we give this away for free to students who then will float the market at some stage, they will, you know, ask their employers to use the same technology, and that will probably then be something that will fall back to us.
And I'm speaking to Eric Gerber. He's the Senior Vice President for Europe, Middle East, Africa and the APJ region for TIBCO Software. And we'll be right back in just a moment. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Tech Talk, made possible by TM1.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Tech Talk, made possible by TM1.
And we're back, and my name is Jeff Sandhu, and with me today is Eric Gerber. He's the Senior Vice President for Europe, Middle East, Africa, and the APJ region for TIBCO Software. And early on, we spoke about how you are nurturing young talents through analytics, and you've also partnered up with education institutions as well, here in Malaysia as well. Do you think that doing all of this kind of helps to drive that entrepreneurship spirit?
I think so, because not all of them will be entering larger enterprises. Some of them will try and build a startup company. And definitely, you know, if you think about the one of the issues of a startup enterprise has always been like, how do I make sure that I target the right audience? We discussed about failing fast, but you can be smart about it, right? You get capital, maybe seeding capital. You want to make sure that you grow to a certain level where you then get to the A round of raising more capital. And data analytics can help you to, you know, target the right sort of market and the right sort of players out there so that the efforts that you're investing are actually paying off.
Mm. And some would argue that Silicon Valley model many years ago may not necessarily work in regions like Southeast Asia. That failing fast mentality, we seem to have a more cautious approach when it comes to this. What's your take on, you know, looking at the East or the West for inspiration? Because Southeast Asia is caught in the middle here.
I don't know whether it's caught in the middle. I think the jury is still out whether, you know, which approach works better, right? So I definitely see a more balanced approach now to the startup scene, whereas like in technology, like 10, 15 years ago, it was just the Silicon Valley. Then you got China, you got Singapore, you got, you know, places like Penang here in Malaysia who are, you know, attracting a lot of startup mentality.
Mm. And what's the 2019 overall challenge that you foresee that you've decided to let's work with universities in Singapore and Malaysia, and also why Singapore and Malaysia?
Why Singapore and Malaysia? That's an easy one, because those are two markets that are very relevant in Southeast Asia. We're actually doing the same thing in Indonesia as well. So those would be the three pillars. If you wanted to extend it, you would think about places like Taiwan and Vietnam. But Singapore and Malaysia have always been like very strong. We have a headquarter of our APJ activities in Singapore. So what do we think we're going to get out of it, out of 2019 was your question. I mean, it's seeding the market with knowledge on data science that is absolutely needed, not only for TIBCO in order to pay back to what we invest, but for larger enterprises, because everyone is looking for data science capabilities.
And hopefully in years to come, when these students graduate, they will be ready for the future hit. And what do you look for in year 2020 onwards? What do you foresee is going to be a challenge for businesses moving forward?
Oh, that's a big question, right? So what do we see as challenges for businesses moving forward? I think the overarching theme is still going to be digital transformation. And, it goes back to the same pillars. It goes back to you need talent, you need technology, you need an ecosystem to support it, right? And so that's where governments can play a role, both in Malaysia and Singapore. We've seen the intentions of governments to fuel these sort of movements. Digitizing means a lot, right? But at the end of the day, it means that it's a smarter use of technology to enable organizations to survive. And now surviving is going to be a big theme, not only in the future, it's already now. So I'm going to give you an example. I was recently meeting with Changi Airport, right? And so we discussed with their C-suite about what their intentions are and how they're going to move forward. So you realize very soon that they have exactly the same intentions like the travel agencies and like the airlines. They want to own this end-to-end journey of a customer. All of them want the same. So, and all of them are kind of like partnering with each other. And that's just one example of one particular industry. So you need to be able to be faster and better connected, and that needs a digital platform in order to sustain.
Is cost going to be an issue?
Of course. Yeah. Cost is always going to be a big issue. And you will see these organizations who have the reserves and who have the power to invest into these digital transformation initiatives that will probably be on the forefront if they act very smart. The other part is going back to the governments. It's their duty to support the markets with fundings and with initiatives.
And where does that leave the SMEs who may struggle with you know, funding or the cost of a digital transformation?
Again, I think it has to be balanced from a governance perspective. But then again, there's a venture capital scene that comes into play. And I can see in both in Singapore and especially in Malaysia here, I can see a lot of venture capitalists coming in with a lot of money. Mm. Now, the thing is, most of them will be going into that seeding part of the phase of the evolution of an organization, and not many will make it out of that. Mm.
What trends do you see happening in this region that's different or unique compared to, you know, the Western world?
More people, meaning you know, higher density. It's the same thing. It's energy problems. It's logistics problems. So how do you transport? How infrastructure problems? Security. Mm. So I think it's just about a factor of two, because you have a lot more people here, and the space is limited, at least in the cities, right? Mm. And so that's everything that you want to master, and technology obviously plays a big role.
But,
IoT.
But you feel the infrastructure is ready in this part of the region?
Infrastructure is getting ready, right? So we're talking about logistics, we're talking about transport. I think there's a lot more to do. You go to Jakarta, you feel like it's not ready yet, right? Mm. So you don't want to be sitting in a traffic jam for hours, and that's where we could argue that 5G potentially could help with all of the options to you know, enable smarter driving and ultimately autonomous driving. Mm.
And finally, because you are also in the business of talent, and for companies, they feel like talent is a scarce resource at the moment. You know, a lot of great talent seems to be getting out of Southeast Asia, moving away from Malaysia at least. What are some of the skill sets they would for entrepreneurs or businesses would need in order to drive their business forward? What kind of values that you would see in an individual, you know, skills aside, what else do you see?
Well, it's a variety, right? You cannot just have a uniform sort of skill set. And I think that's where team comes into play. When you form a team, you have to make sure that there's different characters that are coming together. Sometimes the extrovert person is more the facilitator. Sometimes the introvert person is the actual doer. If you ask me about entrepreneurs, I would definitely think like boldness is part of it. You got to be courageous in what you're doing, really. You have to get that sort of attitude that, okay, if you make a decision, it's going to lead to something, and it could be success or it could be failure. But if you fail, then you stand up and make the next decision. I personally don't think that you can run an organization, be it a startup or a larger organization, if you wait too long to decide. Mm,
mm. The wait and see approach may not necessarily work well.
Definitely not in this day and age. As we all know, it's been a very fast life. You know, things are made in seconds rather than in minutes or in days and weeks, as we used to see it in the past. Mm. So you got to be up for the challenge for that.
And TIBCO, what's the plans moving forward? What are you looking forward to? What are you excited about?
I'm very excited about this market, Asia. You know, if you think about TIBCO, has been around for 20, 25 years, depending on if you count the predecessor with it. We're an American software company. And American software companies, they first get established in America. Then they get to the UK. And at the last moment, they get to Asia. And we happened to do that like 15 years ago. Mm. We entered Asia through a hub in Australia, which was already something that we had to correct. Now, over the last 6-7 years, we got a lot closer to the different cultures, having a headquarter in Singapore. I can see a lot of expansion going on in this market, a lot of more presence. We have beautiful use cases, great customers, and growth. And that's what, at the end of the day, counts.
Eric, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
And that was Eric Gerber. He's the Senior Vice President for Europe, Middle East, Africa, and the APJ region for TIBCO Software. And we were talking about how they are nurturing talents through analytics. And if you missed any parts of this show, you can download the podcast now, available at bfm.my, or better yet, get the BFM app. My name is Jeff Sandhu, and this has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9. And now it's time for your TM1 Tech Minute. The term Internet of Things does a great job of describing its purpose, but somehow it falls short on describing how transformative this technology will be. The IoT takes us a step closer to being able to control our lives from a single device. Those same systems will govern the world we live in, enabling us to tap into real-time data flows about everything from traffic conditions to current waiting times at medical facilities or government offices. TM1's hyper-connected ecosystem allows sensors, systems, and devices to switch between 5G and LTE networks as their data needs require, all made possible by TM1. And that was your TM1 Tech Minute.
Tech Talk, made possible by TM1. To learn more, visit tm1.com.my.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.